Hello everyone, welcome to my talk. Today I will talk about how to reduce the cost of state machine replication protocols while maintaining their other properties, such as availability. I'm Rong Shi from The Ohio State University. With the advent of big data era, the amount of data is increasing exponentially. On the one hand, I do not need to emphasize the importance of data. Users hope that their data is never lost and can be accessed at any time. On the other hand, however, machine may fail at any time for various reasons, such as power loss or software bugs. These errors will certainly threaten data durability and availability. So one question we want to answer is, how to ensure data durability and availability despite failures? In practice, the most widely used approach to protect data from failure is replication. The concept of replication has been widely used in our daily life. For example, a vehicle is usually equipped with a spare tire, and aircraft is designed to have multiple engines. Such redundancy ensures that even if one of the tires or engines breaks, the vehicle or the aircraft can still operate correctly. Similarly, in the area of computer science, we store data on multiple machines so that even if a few machines fail, data is still durable and available to the users. Replication is a classic topic in distributed system, and people have invented various kinds of replication protocols with different costs and guarantees. For example, primary backup can tolerate F crash failures with F plus one replicas, which is the minimum one can expect. This has been used in many systems such as Google File System and HDFS. Crash may be the most common error, but it is not the only one that happened in practice. People find that timing errors, which can caused by long message delay or server overloading, can also happen to these data centers. To protect system against these errors, people have invented Pegasus protocol to tolerate both crash failures and timing errors, but with more replicas. Pegasus is also widely used in today's data centers for building locking services or replicating both data and metadata. In particular, Google's globally distributed database, Spanner, incorporates Pegasus to replicate data on up to millions of machines. On the other extreme, people have invented Byzantine fault tolerance technique, which can tolerate arbitrary failures with even more replicas. In general, stronger replication protocols that can tolerate more kinds of errors requires more replicas. In practice, more replicas means more storage space to store data, more network bandwidth to transfer data, and more CPU cycles to process data. In a data center environment, such additional cost may be magnified because replication may need to apply on up to millions of machines. And this raises a painful question for developers. Are we willing to pay a higher cost for stronger guarantees? As you can see in the previous slides, different systems have made different trade-offs. In academia, there's a continuous effort trying to reduce the cost of replication protocols, but they still need to make other trade-offs. For example, on-demand instantiation approach observe that asynchronous replication protocols, such as Pegasus, do not require all replicas to respond when processing a new request because they're designed for an environment where nodes can be slow. So on-demand instantiation only activates a minimum subset of replicas first, and if any of them don't respond, the system will activate a backup replica. However, the problem of this approach is that the system is unavailable when activating a backup replica because the backup replica must transfer states from one active replica, and for a system with large state, activation may take a long time. In addition, a replica can be logically separated into agreement nodes and execution nodes. With such separation, existing work shows that we can reduce the execution cost for BFT protocols. However, this approach is not effective for applications that are heavy in agreement or using Pegasus. Furthermore, by separating metadata from data, NoSQL can reduce the replication cost of standard Pegasus, but it is only effective for block storage. After so many attempts, we have to ask ourselves, do we have to make a trade-off between replication cost and other useful properties? Is it possible to reduce replication cost without hurting other properties, such as availability or correctness? In this work, we find the answer is actually yes for many popular protocols. For example, while standard packets requires 2F+1 replicas, our approach needs to activate F+1 replicas. In the BFT case, upright execution requires U plus maximum U and R plus 1 execution nodes, while our approach requires U plus R plus 1 nodes. Intuitively, U is the number of omission finance and R is the number of commission finance. One can easily calculate that our approach requires fewer execution nodes when U is larger than R. And we believe this is a practical setting because commission finance are less frequent than omission finance, as is shown in most studies. Now, let's see how to achieve such an improvement. Before that, let me give you a brief introduction to the Steam Machine Replication Protocol. First, SMR models are server application as a deterministic Steam Machine. When it receives client request, it performs deterministic execution and send a response back to the client. For fault tolerance, it deploys multiple copies of application state machine on different machines called replica. To make sure all replica are identical, SMR runs an agreement protocol across replicas to ensure that despite a few number of machine failures, all correct replicas can always receive the same sequence of requests. As you can see here, a replica in SMR protocol performs two tasks. First, it needs to join an agreement protocol to decide the next request to execute, and then it needs to execute the request. Many work, therefore, logically separate a replica into two parts, agreement node and execution node. Let's turn to our design. In this work, we propose a generic approach to reduce replication cost while maintaining other properties. To reduce cost, our design incorporates on-demand instantiation. We activate minimum set replica first and wake up the backup one when act one fails. As mentioned earlier, the problem of this approach is that the system is unavailable when rebuilding a backup replica. To solve this problem, we incorporate lazy recovery, in which the system can rebuild a backup replica in the background without halting the system. In order for this combination to work properly, the key challenge is how to ensure the system is able to function correctly even when part of the system is in recovery and thus has only partial state. The key observation that allows us to address these challenges, when agreement and execution node are separated, they each present a unique property that enables late recovery. Now let's see what the unique properties are and how we utilize them. First, for agreement node that runs a consensus protocol to decide the next request to execute, we find they have the memoryless property, which means a node does not need to know prior request when agreeing on the next one. Based on this observation, our strategy is straightforward. We activate minimum number of agreements that can reach agreement. If any of them don't respond, we can ask a blank backup node to join agreement immediately. We can do this because, as is shown in the observation, the backup node does not need to know prior request before it can take its responsibility. Therefore, we can recover the backup node later in the background. Let's see the unique property for execution node. Execution node needs to execute the request and other application's tasks. It does not have the memory's property because the execution of later request may depend on the execution of early request, so that we cannot apply the same strategy as for agreement node. Its opportunity for lazy recovery comes from a different property. We find that execution tasks can be categorized into two types. Critical tasks that must be performed for system availability, such as executing a request, and flexible tasks that can be delayed for a while, such as taking a snapshot for garbage collection. And we find that the number of replicas required to execute critical tasks is sometimes fewer than that required to execute flexible tasks. Based on this observation, we use separate strategies for these kinds of tasks. On the one hand, we activate sufficient execution node to ensure that despite up to F finance, the system can still perform critical tasks, and thus the system is always available. On the other hand, we don't need to be so conservative for flexible tasks. We only need to ensure that when there are no failures, the system has sufficient execution now to perform flexible tasks. Let me give you an example. Here, n critical equals 1 and n flexible equals 2. By following the above formula, we need to activate two replicas. If any of them don't respond, the system can still perform critical tasks, but not flexible tasks. But that is fine because they're flexible, and we can delay them after recovery finishes. So in our approach, we activate a subset of agreement and execution node. When agreement node fails, we ask a blank node to join agreement immediately. While when the execution node fails, the system is still processing new request with remaining execution node. And for both case agreement and execution nodes, we recover nodes later in the background. So far, we'll talk about how to reduce the cost of SMR protocols. Let's see how effective it is when applied to popular protocols. Here, I only show a few examples, and you can find others in paper. For example, for Texas, it needs at least F plus one node to reach agreement. And thus, our approach needs to activate F plus one agreement node. For execution, client needs at least one response, and garbage connection, which is the flexible task, requires F plus one node to take snapshots. By following the previous calculation, our approach needs to activate F plus one execution node. In addition, upright execution requires R plus one node to perform client request, and a maximum event R plus one to perform to take snapshot for garbage connection. By following the same calculation, our approach needs to activate U plus R plus one node. Obviously, our approach requires fewer execution nodes. And this concludes that, when U is larger than R, this concludes that for BFP protocols, we can reduce cost by separate U and R, and such opportunity does not exist in original upright because the formula of U plus maximum U and R plus one equals 2U plus one, which is not different from 2F plus one bound of earlier works. However, our approach is not always effective. For example, for Zdiva, our approach cannot achieve any improvement because, on the one hand, Zdiva's agreement protocol requires all 3F plus one agreement node to join a fast commit protocol, and if any of the node fails, it'll result back to the traditional BFT protocols. And in this case, our approach also needs to activate 3F plus one node for the fast pass. On the other hand, Zdiva's execution requires the same number of replicas to perform critical and flexible tasks. And in this case, our approach cannot reduce its execution cost. So far, I have talked about how to incorporate on-demand instantiation and lazy recovery to achieve low cost and high availability. However, such combination incurs another challenge. Although recovery can be delayed, it still has to be finished in a timely manner. There are two reasons. First, we know that data durability is determined by how frequently machines fail and how fast they can recover. So delaying recovery may result in higher probability of data loss. Second, flexible tasks cannot be performed until recovery finishes. If they are delayed for too long, they will eventually block the system. To address this challenge, we propose an adaptive approach. We let administrators set a soft deadline, and we try our best to meet the deadline. Due to the time limit, I will skip details, and you can refer to the paper. To evaluate our approach, we applied to stand Pexis and build Swift Pexis from scratch in Java. In this evaluation, we try to answer three key questions. First, what is the performance when there are no failures? Second, what is the availability when failures occur? And third, can adaptive recovery meet the deadline with different configurations? Due to time limits, I will skip the evaluation for third question, and you can refer it in the paper. To answer these questions, we apply Swift Pexis to two applications, H2 and remote hash map. H2 is a lightweight database system implemented in Java, and we run TPCC over H2 to measure its performance. And we also build a remote hash map benchmark that allow users to set and get key value pairs on a remote server. Compared to TPCC over H2, which is quite CPU intensive, Remote hash map can achieve a higher throughput. That means more frequent network and disk IOs and higher prior agreement and recovery, which is more interesting considering the goal of thrifty packets. As a result, we only show the throughput writing to remote hash map in the following experiments, and you can find other results in the paper. To evaluate availability, we queue agreement and execution node to emulate finance. This figure tries to answer the first question. We measure the throughput when there are no finance. Here, x-axis represents the configuration with different f and v, in which v is the value size in each key value pair. And the y-axis represents the throughput in terms of requests per second. Blue bar and orange bar represent throughput of thrifty packets and standard packets, respectively. As you can see in the figure, compared to standard packets, thrifty packets throughput is around 73% to 88% higher. This is because this benchmark is quite IO intensive, and network bandwidth of leader is the bottleneck. And in thrifty packets, leader only sends message to F replicas besides itself, while in standard packets, it sends messages to F replicas. In addition, we did a sanity check using Zookeeper and use Gridbar to show its performance. Zookeeper is an open source project whose update protocol is similar to standard packets. Of course, it has different optimization features, so its number cannot serve as direct comparison. We show its number just to present that our implementation provides a reasonable throughput. Next figure tries to answer the second question. We measure the availability of thrifty packets and compare it to that of standard packets and cheap packets. Here, due to space limits, I skip cheap packets, and you can find it in the paper. Here, x-axis represents the time, and y-axis represents throughput. To emulate finance, we queue a long leader replica and then the leader replica at around 300 and 1,400 seconds, respectively. In general, their behaviors are similar. First, when non-leader replica fails, the system can still process your request. While when the leader fails, the system needs to elect a new leader, which may block the system for a short while. For both cases, the system starts recovery in 5 minutes. During recovery, rebuilding states incurs network and disk I/O, which and thus degrades system performance. However, there are two differences. First, after replica fails, standard packets throughput jumps. This is because leaders need to send message to fewer replicas after the finance. While in thrifty packets, we have already explored such opportunity. Second, thrifty packets loading time after recovery is longer than that of standard packets. This is because thrifty packets throughput during recovery is higher, and thus it needs to replay more log entries afterwards. While we have discussed some related work that try to reduce the cost of replication protocols, other works try to optimize the replication protocol in other angles, such as lower latency or higher read throughput. These works are orthogonal to our work, and it would be interesting to see whether we can combine softness optimization with our work. To sum up, whether to pay the cost of strong replication protocol has been a painful question for developers. In this work, we have shown that strong replication does not have to be expensive. Furthermore, we don't need even to invent new protocols for that. Instead, in this work, we show that by reasoning about the necessary condition for correctness and availability in existing protocols, we can combine on-demand instantiation and latency recovery to achieve to reduce replication cost while maintaining other properties. And that's all my talk, and thanks for listening to my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Through your paper and your presentation, there seems to be places where you can have some knobs to configure how it is going to do. Could you tell us more about your view on how this work can proceed if you allow for more adaptation? Or configuration?
Sorry, your question is about the process of our approach? Sorry.
So I guess that there are situations in your design decisions that they, like you said, strongly application does not have to be expensive. In certain cases, it will be more or less expensive. And I'm wondering if you know, in the paper, it seems you had a few configuration knobs that people could set, and if I understood correctly or not, and how you do this setting up of those knobs.
Okay. I think that the knobs you mentioned is mainly in adaptive recovery.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. So here I give you an example. So in this example, x-axis represents the elapsed time, while y-axis right. represents state that is already recovered. So we use solid curve to represent the real recovery process. Well, the this solid dashed line represent the ideal case in which we fetch states in a right. uniform speed. And finish it right at the deadline. So, let's administer that soft deadline. And the thing is, we try to allocate the minimum resources for lazy recovery while allocating the remaining for the new request. So, we compare the two ratios. So, if the fetching speed, as you can see in the figure,
I see. So
is higher, then we slow down it, and we can allocate more resources for new request. While if fetching speed is lower, we need to speed up in order to meet the deadline. Yeah.
Okay, so it is more adapting the resource manager, not adapting, you know, now my soft deadlines become a little harder deadlines. Not about that. It's really about how much resources you give to
yes.
be able to do it. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, any? Yes.
Hi, Scott Fritchie with VMware. Sorry, I haven't read the paper. In the related work section, is there any mention of the witness server technique? I forget how old the technique is, but using witness servers that participate in a protocol for metadata purposes but don't store all of the data involved in whatever is being managed. It feels, just listening to your talk, that the lazy servers and how they jump in and participate, it feels similar, at least on the surface, to this kind of witness technique of splitting participation in a protocol for metadata tracking purposes versus having a full replica of everything. Does this sound familiar?
Yeah, I think so, but the thing is, similar, yeah.
Okay, I'll ask you a bit more later, thanks.
Okay. I guess that's it for this session. So let's thank our last speaker. Thank you.